Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. St. Paul says they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And from John 8 we hear Jesus says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that at this time we are able to come to gather together to celebrate your word that broke into this world, broke through sin, death and the devil, and came to free us. On this day, Lord, particularly, we celebrate, we commemorate the Reformation, during which Martin Luther and his colleagues opened the coffin that the gospel had been buried in and set the word free again, drew the church out of the dark ages and opened up many more eyes to see you. Lord, we thank you that you put boldness in the hearts of men and women on earth to boldly proclaim the saving grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that heaven may be filled with many, many souls. Lord, tell us your story now. Anchor it securely in our hearts. Lord, reform us always to our last day. And then, like rain, perfect us and let us live with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1779, John Newton wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Why not? Was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch like me. Sounds a bit dramatic, doesn't it? No, well, you know me, so it's like, yeah. The dictionary defines the word wretch as a person in a very unhappy or unfortunate state. More colourfully, despicable, contemptible, scoundrel, villain, rogue, swine, no one's yelled out bingo yet, criminal, good for nothing. But Pastor, you protest, we're nice Christians, not wretches, surely. For Newton, wretch wasn't strong enough. He was the only child of a sea captain father and a Christian mother who taught him the Bible at an early age. Sadly, she died when Newton was 7. And at the ripe old age of 11, he went to sea with his father, making 6 voyages with him before his father retired. The young Newton then signed on with a merchant ship. At the age of 19, he was kidnapped and press-ganged into service on a Royal Navy ship. Discipline wasn't his cup of tea, and he tried to desert, but was captured and publicly flogged. Newton became suicidal over this event and considered throwing himself overboard. Eventually, he convinced his superiors to swap him into service on a slave ship. Again, his rebelliousness made him unpopular, and the crew left him in West Africa with a slave trader who brutally abused him. Finally, Newton was rescued by a sea captain who knew his father. On his return trip to England, Newton experienced a spiritual conversion that he referred to as his great deliverance. One night, a violent storm tossed the ship around. The ship began to break apart and was sinking. John remembered the words of Proverbs 1, verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. He cried out, Lord, have mercy on us. And at that moment, the cargo shifted, plugging up the hole, and the ship drifted to safety. Before this event, Newton had lived with complete moral abandon. He later wrote, "I sinned with a high hand and made it my study to tempt and seduce others to do the same." After leaving the sea and settling into an office job at the age of 30, Newton began to hold Bible studies in his home. As he grew in faith, Newton became increasingly disgusted with the slave trade and the part he'd played in it. Eventually, he was ordained and spent the rest of his life serving as a pastor of a London church. See, this is a punishment you get for great sin. It was there that he met William Wilberforce, who would go on to champion the abolition of slavery. And I encourage you, if you haven't already seen it, to watch the film Amazing Grace. Came out in 2006. Newton continued to preach until the last year of his life, despite the fact that he was blind by that time. He never forgot how God had transformed his life. And not long before his death, at the age of 82, Newton preached, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Saviour." Until his conversion, John Newton was nothing but trouble. Nobody liked him or wanted to be around him. Every ship he signed on to was happy to get rid of him. But on the night of his conversion, he changed from sinful rebel into a new identity, child of God. "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light." Ephesians 5. Imagine the trouble Newton must have had convincing people he'd changed. Sound familiar? It was a sort of a minor apostle who had that problem, St. Paul. I wonder how long it took before those who knew his former ways stopped thinking he was only doing what he did because of what he hoped to gain. After that night on a sinking ship, John Newton knew that he was a wretch in need of a saviour, and he knew that he had been saved only by the amazing grace of God that David read to us earlier. Jesus saves us from the forces of rebellion against God that lie behind every form of evil. He doesn't offer just a momentary rescue from darkness with a brief glimpse of the light. He calls us to live apart from darkness by following him, the light of life. Jesus is the divine presence, the light, come into the world to save all people from the bondage of sin. He promises salvation to wretches like you and me. And in John 8, verse 12, a bit earlier, we hear this. "Whoever," and I want you to remember that word, "whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever follows me. Think about Newton's earlier life. And John chapter 8, verse 36, will be free. Free. Darkness and death press in on the world because of its rebellion against God. But Jesus offers light and life to all who will believe in him and follow him. He offers freedom from bondage to sin. Yet, many don't want to listen to him. They won't admit that they're wretches in need of salvation. In fact, many believe that Jesus is the wretch. In John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46, Philip tells Nathanael that he's found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. And a little later on, Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" The Jews clearly know that Jesus is from Nazareth, a town that has a very bad reputation. They say, "We are not illegitimate children." Everyone knew that Mary was pregnant before the wedding, and many thought Jesus was the wretch who needed help. They were so convinced of their own lack of wretchedness that they thought they didn't need a saviour. They were wretches in need of a saviour just as much as John Newton, just as much as you and me. But to acknowledge this would require them to change their identity. How about you? Do you acknowledge that you're a wretch in need of a saviour? A wretch in need of the amazing grace that comes only through Christ? The Pharisees were certain that Jesus couldn't be from God because he didn't follow their understanding of Moses. These were men who revered the scriptures and were zealots for prayer, fasting, regular worship, and who gave generously and sacrificially to God's work. Yet, they were instrumental in Jesus being crucified, and sadly, they're not extinct today. Whenever we think things don't look the way they should, whenever we've lost our sense of joy in the grace of God, we need to be on guard. The only security against Pharisaism is grace. Grace drove the Reformation. And as such, Reformation is just as ongoing as the living presence of Christ. Daily we die to sin, daily we rise with him. Like Newton, Luther knew that all people are sinners, wretches in need of salvation. He also understood that we have a tendency to think that we're better than others. Surely people who have good health and good jobs and a nice home and food to eat and children who are doing the right things are being blessed by God. And just as surely people who don't have their act together, maybe their kids are in trouble all the time, maybe their house is in need of repair or the yard is a mess, maybe they don't seem to have any regular employment, surely they're just reaping the results of their own bad choices and behaviour. Surely if they're kicked off the ship because nobody likes them, surely if they're born out of wedlock, surely if they muck up and can't seem to get it together, that means that God doesn't like them. And they deserve everything that's happening to them. Emphatically, no, no, and no. God allowed John Newton to come close to death in order to make him realize that he was a wretch in need of grace. Jesus came into the world to show us that every single one of us is a wretch in need of his amazing grace. And he came into the world to make that grace freely available to any of us who would recognize our own wretchedness, repent, and follow him. Although John Newton was physically blind and unable to see at the end of his life, spiritually his eyes had been opened years earlier. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. And the grace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.